I am Peg. Hi. Hey, Leslie. And I'm really happy to be here. And, you know, when Reverend Liz asked me, you know, to do the service while she was gone, I really wanted to go to Hawaii with her, but that was not an option. So here I am. Okay. And I have had a lot going on this year. And that's what we're going to talk about. So everything I'm talking about today is my experience, what's been going on with me. And she goes, well, you know, we're talking about order. You know, we're doing 12 powers. And I went, I got that. I could do it. Because my life is in such divine order that it's been driving me nuts. It's like, could we stop now? I got it, you know. But so it's just, it's a perfect message for me. And, you know, so if you've seen me speak before and if you know me, you know that this happens to me. I get a little choked up. Shoot, I was choked up at the core values. It's like, okay, all right, humble surrender. And that's what we're going to talk about. And so there is divine order, and that is, you know, Unity preaches that. And I love that when I came, you know, as I was growing in the church. It's been a really long time that I've been here. And so divine order is something that's kind of grown for me, what it means, how I experience it, and what I do. And so I'm going to try to weave in what Unity is talking about, and then just my experience of it, and especially lately. The thing that, you know, and I worked here for 5 or 6 years, and, you know, it was like, okay, well, it's in divine order. Let's just affirm some divine order. Let's pray for some divine order. And in my little blurb I wrote, I'm always got my fingers crossed behind my back, hoping that what God wants is what I want. It's like, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. I hope he wants me to get that new car because I sure want it, you know. And so, and then divine order kind of became this thing I said when I didn't understand what was happening. And people go, well, it's just the mystery. And I want to go, yeah, to hell with that mystery. It's not the mystery. What does that mean? That's what you say when you don't understand. And that made me mad and I didn't like it. But I'd say it. Because I was a good little Unity girl. Divine order, yes, divine order. Now, the reason I had so much, that I was kind of cynical, is because I, like I mentioned when I told you about myself, I had a huge, huge problem with God when I first came here. Now, you know, I was raised Presbyterian, and then I started going to Maple Lawn Baptist Church, where they scared the hell into me. I didn't really know about hell. Presbyterians, you know, they don't talk about hell that much. But those Baptists did. And I had already done so many things, right? That I was already on the train. And I was like, there's no way out, you know? I got saved 5 times, and that never worked. It's like, Jesus does not love me, or God, or whoever, right? And so, you know, when I started going to those 12 steps program, they were talking about God, I had such a... Yeah, I hated those words. I didn't want to talk about God. I didn't like it. And you know what that means? That means I have issues. God didn't do that. The Baptist did it. You know? Why am I mad at Jesus? He was just hanging out, you know. They're the ones that said all the stuff. So I had some misplaced anger, and it's taken me a while to, you know, really work through that. So anyway, back to divine order. So coming here, you know, and learning about that, and because of all that training or indoctrination I had, you know, it just seemed like God was just some master chess player, you know? And it's like, okay, so today we're going to play chess with Peg, and we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that, move this over here, and I guess he could do that because he's God, and, you know, we got the universe, but that didn't feel very nice. You know, so God's going to do something good for me that makes somebody else suffer, or, you know, stuff like that. It just didn't make sense. So I knew, and in coming here to Unity, that's when I really started. I was really able to start healing my definition of God, my relationship with God. And then I got involved in the Course in Miracles, and that really ruined everything for a while. Because, you know, the world is a dream. This is just an illusion. Oh, great, now what do I do? So anyway, I have a lot to deal with. But anyway, so I'm going to stop for that for a second and bring in some unity. And what's her name? She has a long name. Winifred Wilkinson Houseman wrote a book called Your God-Given Potential. It's a pretty much a unity standard. And she says, should have made the font bigger on this. she says, divine order, is this mic on or am I on the microphone? All right, we'll be here. Divine order is the complete outgrowth of our complete agreement and cooperation with spiritual law. Complete agreement? You mean it's not going to happen if I'm not in complete agreement? It's not. It's going to happen. Divine order, here it is. It is, or it isn't. There is no in-between. It's like being pregnant. You either are, or you are not. There is no kinda, right? And so I'm going to tell you who really taught me that lesson. George W. Bush. I love George W. Bush. I did not love George W. Bush when he was president, okay? And so here's a great story. And this is a story of surrendering to divine order, okay? So I'm driving through Texas. I'm going to Dallas. I'm in the middle of nowhere. You hit scan on the radio, and it's like, you know, it goes and goes, and it lands on local football, or it lands on those, fundamental Christian radio stations. So I'm thinking, you know, God, I guess it's divine order that George W. Bush is the president. Now, I'm not trying to be political, because I was not a Republican. I'm just trying to tell you that you can use anything to grow, and probably your best lessons are the people you have the most angst with, okay? Those are the people whose feet you should be washing if I'm doing it right, okay? So I'm driving, and I'm going, well, that must be it. It must be God's will. Everything's in divine order, or it's not. So I said, okay, Spirit. Actually, I said Jesus because he was on my good side then. And I said, let me see George W. Bush through your eyes. Let me see this person that I am so angry with through the eyes of love and peace and truth, and not what the hell, are you kidding me, anger and judgment. Let me see this a different way. Let me see him a different way. And I meant that because I wanted to understand. You know, I think I did what I think mainstream Christian people do. It's like all these truths, they're just for us here at Unity. They're not really for the stuff that happens out there. But they're really, more importantly, for the stuff that happens out there. So, okay. So I said that. I felt it. I meant it. I wanted it. And I pushed scan. And it's buzz. And then it came on this song that's called Give Me Your Eyes. And it's a hardcore Christian song. And it's Give Me Your Eyes for just 1 minute. Give me your eyes so I can see that I've been missing. I almost had a wreck. It was like, are you kidding me? Is that like instant karma, instant prayer, heard, listened, here you go? I was dumbfounded. And I said, thank you, George W. Bush, and I have been in love with him ever since. I just love him. He's crazy. But, you know, but... what did I do? I surrendered to evidently this is divine order. Evidently. You know why evidently it's divine order is divine order? Because it is what it is, right? This is it. I got nothing else. This is what it is. So, oh my Lord, what page am I on? okay. I got off. I have some other examples of surrender. Okay, so when I was probably 17. I had found Unity. This is right after I had Unity because I had a daily word to read. And but I also had, I believe it's the third step of AA, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore, or we made a decision. It's whatever step that is. We made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. Well, I'm still pretty angry at God, right? I don't really want anything to do with those steps. But here's the deal. I knew that those people in those meetings, I was going to an outpatient youthish program, and I'd go to AA where they'd just stare at me. Okay. I know I'm young, I'm sorry. But I knew they had something I didn't have. I knew it. I could see it, and I could feel it, and I wanted it. And that's what they said they did, and I went, I guess that's what I'm going to have to do. So I lived with, you know, early sobriety. I need a place to stay. Come on over. I mean, we had so many people sleeping on the floor and in the couch and all the bedrooms, just helping each other out. The only place for solitude was bathroom. So I go in there to do my little surrendering. And I sat there and I thought, I just don't know how to do this. But what I thought was, you know what? I know about that much about God. That much. Just that teeny tiny bit. That's all I know. So I said, okay, God, you get this much of me because that's all I got to give. That's all I understand. That's the mustard seed, right? The Course in Miracles calls it the little willingness. This is all I got. So that's what I gave. And I thought, that was pretty smart of me. I thought, hey, yeah, that was smart. So then everybody left for some reason, so I went into my room that I was sharing with like three other people, and I got my daily word out, and it was something about God being the good, the great, the omnipotent. And I kind of thought omnipotent must mean everything, because I didn't know. I was only 17. So I read it, and it's like, I really want to know. Really want to know what this means. And every hair on my neck and my arm went whew, and I knew. I couldn't articulate it, but I knew. And I think God said, I got you. I got it. You gave me that much, I'm going to give you way more. But what I did was I got honest. That's the other thing about surrender. It says humble surrender, but it's also honest surrender. You know, I don't know what this is for. I'm not smart enough to get out of it. I'm not holy enough. I'm not whatever enough. I don't know. Help me. That is surrendering to divine order. Because you know what? Divine order is going to happen. Whether I like it or not, right? So I might as well go happily. And if I can't go happily, then I got to sit down and figure out why. So that changed my life. Now, I can't say I started doing somersaults and staying sober was the easiest thing I'd ever done in my life. After that moment, it wasn't. But it started the foundation of me being able to go, I want more than that. I want more than smoking dope and drinking and hanging out with crazy people. I don't want that anymore. But I have to have something I want more than that. And God said, okay. So, but I don't always still want God more. So I want you to remember that we're always working on two levels, okay? So we're always working in the level of form. Today we're in the world of form. We're kind of mixing up our levels today. The level of form is your job, is your home, is your relationship, is whatever. Going to the grocery store. Maneuvering through that. The second level is our spiritual level, is that higher self, our Christ consciousness, the divine mind that we talk about in unity and being hooked up with that place in us within and operating out of that place. Not the ego place of, I got to get to work, oh my God, I'm late, oh, I wish my boss wasn't such a jerk, that kind of stuff, okay? So I'm telling you that because it doesn't mean that we accept bad behavior in any kind of shape, or form. We don't go, okay, well, it must be divine order because my husband's beating me. No, that we don't do it that way. We go, oh, gee, this is an uncomfortable situation. I need to find the highest good and the highest answer for myself, and I need to do what I need to do to be safe and walk. And so we always have a choice of which, you know, the Course in Miracles says you can be host to God or hostage to the ego. So those are our two choices. So who are you going to leave that relationship with? We're going to go, okay, let me connect with my higher spiritual self and go that way instead of leaving angry and fearful. So I just want to say that it doesn't mean we just accept bad behavior and stay in situations that aren't healthy for us. It doesn't mean you can't leave a job you're not happy with. It just means, how are you going to go? And I'm going to tell you here in a minute. Okay. So, one other time that I surrendered, and it kind of ties in with how I've just recently surrendered, was, you know, I was still sober and I was working in these apartments, and I really wanted to be a counselor. I had about a year on me, year and a half sobriety, and I wanted to be a counselor. But I was working at this job, showing people apartments, going, isn't this a lovely door? Look how big this closet is. You know, I wanted more for my life. And so I remember sitting in that office one day. I had a nice little window into the courtyard, and I said, you know what, God, because we're on better terms. And I use the word God because it's just a symbol of an energy none of us can explain, right? It just works. I don't want to call him Leroy. I guess I could, but, you know, God works. I said, you know, God, if you want me to be a rental specialist, that was my title, for the rest of my life, help me want that. If that is what you want, if that is the divine order for my life, help me want that. And I meant it. And I surrendered to it. And I went to a meeting that night, and the director and the assistant director, whom I adored, came up to me and went, hey, Peg, what are you doing? And I said, you know, I'm just here for the meeting. They go, hey, you want to be a counselor? I swear to God. I went, what? Yeah, we think you'd be a good counselor, but if you don't want to, and they were joking with me and they were walking away, and it's like, oh, hell yeah. You know, once again, it was a quick return. It was a quick return. The only thing I can say about that is because I was just so honest. Because I've tried to surrender. It didn't work because I was still fighting. So, Winifred also says about divine order, we must first work on ourselves, and then from harmonious, happy feelings within, bring forth God ideas into our immediate environment. So we must work on ourselves, and then. So now we're getting to the meat. So a year ago, July 1st of August, my life was changed by watching Super Soul Sunday with Oprah. Crazy, right? She was interviewing the man who wrote The Shack. Anybody hear that book, see the movie? It was a movie. It was a pretty good mainstream Christian movie, you know. I loved Olivia. I think that was her name. She was God. It was really cool. Sam, the guy that played the main character. But the interview was with the author of the book. And he changed my life, not Oprah. It was this guy. Because what he was talking about, which I didn't get, which is so silly, I didn't get what the shack represented. And he said the shack is that place, we all have our own shack inside. And in that shack is our deepest wound. And if you don't know, in the movie, in the book, this guy Sam, his daughter was kidnapped and murdered, and they found her body in the shack. And he was a very Christian guy, and he hated God after that, didn't want to go to church, didn't any of that. And one day he got a letter in the mailbox that said, meet you at the shack, love God. He thought people were paying jokes on him. He was pretty upset. But he went to the shack. And so in the interview, the man is telling us that's our that we have a shack. Now, I've done enough work, 12 steps, therapy, unity principles, I mean, Course in Miracles. I should be like floating in heaven right now is what I think, but I'm not. I guess my ego's too big still. But anyway, I have done a lot of work. So I knew what was in my shack. But what I realized listening to this guy is I knew the shack was there, and I've done some work. I've tidied up. I've cleaned it up, but I haven't gone in. I haven't gone in deep. And he said, that's where you're going to find God. You're upset. You're unhappy. That's where you got to go. Everything else is just fluff. Everything else is just keep us distracted. And we can come up with some great distractions, right? Music, people, The Witcher, TV, okay, it's a show. Anyway, we can do all kinds of things to distract ourselves. So I went, I had lunch with Christine, and I went, what am I doing? What's going on? What do I want to be when I grow up? And, you know, I got some great advice from her. That's when I started going, it's not really when I started going to want to be a minister. It's when I went, is this right for me? And God, you know, give me a sign. So, oh boy, he put the hammer down on giving me signs. It's like, okay, stop. And at that time, I had been working in a chiropractor's office. You know, I'd been at the co-op for years, made that my classroom, worked really hard, then found a job. And my life was already better just not being in that stress. And I couldn't make it financially at the chiropractor's place. It was just like 3.5 days a week. I was still getting paid well, but not enough to pay my bills. So long story short, I'm going to look for a part-time job. Comes up to be a full-time. So I see this job as part-time. I'm like, heck yeah, you know, had a big salary. I thought, I can just see. So I have the pre-interview. It's insane amounts of money, and it's full-time. She goes, well, would you be interested? It's like, oh, yeah, I'd be interested. Heck yeah. And it's for a landscape company, so I'd get to learn this whole new thing. I had a crew. You know, I missed my crew. I had like 25 people to co-op. I was going to have like 30 crew members that don't speak English. They're the best part of my job, just so you know, and have a great time. And so I wanted in. And then all of a sudden I went, man, if I don't get this job, I am going to be so angry. And I knew I'd have to deal with all those feelings if I'm not good enough. See, God doesn't really love me. Divine order is a bunch of malarkey. That's not the word I used. You know, there's all this, and it's like, oh, God, I don't want to feel those feelings. So now at this point in that moment, I just wanted that job so I didn't have to feel those feelings. And I was angry and I was scared. Now, I have been doing a lot of work. In that moment, now I'm going to tell you, I heard a voice, but I didn't hear a voice. But I don't know how to explain to you what happened to me. So it's easy to say I heard this voice. But it was not up here. It was down in here. And this voice said, don't you really want to be in the place you're meant to be more than anything in the world? Don't you want that more than this job or that job? And it was like, I do want that more. I want to be free from these feelings of fear and anger and powerlessness more than I want that job. That's what I want. And that just blew me away. It was just this, what blew me away too was that it wasn't a voice. It was this knowing. And how did I get there? Wow. Thank you. And so that didn't mean it was all over. I'd have an interview, and then he wouldn't call me back. And I'd get in that place, and I'd go, oh, yeah. I really want to be wherever I'm supposed to be. And if that means staying at the chiropractor's office, then I really want to be there. There's something for me to do there, okay? So God God being the yuckster that he is, and me having the ego that I do, I'm thinking I need to go or be or stay because I have a gift to give. I'm going to help people. And that's just not what happened. So I know I'm running out of time. Okay, so the quick version of the story is, this job has turned out to be one of the worst job experiences of my entire life. Entirely. It's like, what the hell? You tricked me again. You know, I felt tricked. I felt duped. But then I kept going, well, you know what? I surrendered. And I said, this is divine order. I'm supposed to be here. What does this mean that I do? Now, this guy, he only texts or emails. I've had more conversations with Brendan than I have ever had with this guy, and we've only met each other twice, right? We're texting, we're emailing. And what it helped me see was how much everything I speak, say, and do is my own projection. It's all coming from the shack. It's all coming from the place of being, needing healing. Every single thing. And this guy gives me so many opportunities to go, oh, this is my wound. And I need to be healed from this wound more than I need this guy to talk to me and have a normal conversation. Because the other thing that happened is I got a divorce. So my new last name is Molden. All this is happening all at the same. That's what I'm saying. God, I said, come on down, God. And he went, be right there. You know, and then everything just started. I'm leaving stuff out because I'm running out of time. And that happens. And so the other day something happened and I thought, oh my God, was that my mistake? Now, I am a very self-confident person. This is my Peter Pan stance. I stand at the co-op and I go, what's happening, right? But I have been reduced to this 8-year-old who's so afraid to make a mistake. And I've been doing good, and he's been doing good. And so something came up, and it's like, oh, God, oh, yeah. And then I went, oh, yeah, this is my wound. This is my little 8-year-old. So let me just stop, and let me love that 8-year-old. Let me just stop and go, everything's good. Let me just stop and go, Spirit, let me see this wound through the eyes of love and truth. And not fear and not judgment. And thank you, thank you, thank you to this man who triggers every button, pushes every button I ever had. He's there so I can go, oh, I need to be healed. How did I get there? That's what I'm saying. Well, Winifred said we have to do our work. So I invite you to do your work. Anytime you have an upset, an anger, whatever, even if you're angry at Tom, it's not Tom, that's your anger. You have to go, why is this affecting me? How can I heal this so that if Tom says something that would make me mad, I can respond with love or, God, I'm so sorry you're feeling that way. How can we deal with it instead of, well, I'll show him? Because I was doing that with my boss. I'd go, well, I'll show him. I just won't say hello. I'm just not that person. This guy will walk into a room, I'm the only one in it, and he won't say hello. Like, who does that? I'm a human freaking being here. Say hello to me, you know? And I thought, well, I just won't say hello, but I'm just not that way. I just can't do it. It feels stupid. So I go, hey, what's up? Hello. That's hello. Okay, that's him. Wouldn't it be awesome if I could come to work every day and I'm in that place? And my shack is getting more healed and more healed. And I'm in that place where I can just be a presence of love for him. Don't you think somebody who just goes, hello, maybe needs a little love? Even if I don't say, hey, I love you, buddy. I just sit in my office and go, I'm going to surround him with my love right now. I'm just going to love him right now for a couple minutes. What does that do? There are no boundaries in consciousness, right? He's getting it. And I'm getting it. It's in giving that we receive. In the moment, I'm getting that love myself. I'm healing that wound. If I leave that job, my wound wins. And there was a point when I said, but hey, you know what? That one's going to follow me anywhere I go anyway. I might as well quit. Because, hey, it's been following me for Let's see, in 13 more shopping days, 64 years that wound has been following me. So, hey, why don't I just quit? Yeah, it just wouldn't work. This is because I surrendered to divine order. Okay, so we're going to do a... There is so much more. Not really, I did pretty good. So I just want us to take a moment, and we'll bring it in. Let's go inward. Take a deep breath. Bring in your awareness back into here. And I'd like for you to think of a challenge. Maybe it's something that you put on your prayer list. An anger, an upset. Not on the gratitude side. We're going to the prayer side. What did you write down? God, help me get that job I want. God, make that guy I really want to talk to give me a call. I like him. You know, there are so many different scenarios. So pick the one that resonates with you in this moment. And think about the details. Think about, in the world of form, what do you want from that situation? And just keep breathing through that for a moment. What is the outcome that your little personality, what's the outcome your personality of Peg wants in this situation? And now, bring your awareness down into your heart. And breathe in that space for just a minute. And now ask from there, in this place of peace and love, what do I really, really want to come from this situation? And if what you want is some person to call you so you can go out on a date and live happily ever after, ask yourself, what if this isn't the person? Don't I really want the love of my life, the right one? Don't I really want the right job? Don't I really want the thing that's going to wake me up into the peace and the presence of God within me? Don't I want that more than anything? Don't I want to be so centered in love and peace that no matter what happens outside of me in the world of form, I stay centered in love. I stay centered in peace. Don't I want to be healed from fear more than anything in the world? I do. So I invite you in this place of surrender to what is your highest good, knowing that you want your highest good more than anything in the world. Bring that challenge into that place and let it go. And for an awareness of this presence of love and peace within us that we can access at any time. We are so grateful for this awareness. And we say, thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Thank you, Leroy, that it is so. And so it is. Amen. I love you all. Thank you. Hot up here.